Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Anytime, anywhere. And you know, the part of what's going on with Witch School, though it's not like Witch School, is what we offer here on Pagans Tonight Radio Network, because we have all sorts of ways that you can learn about classes that Selena Fox does pretty much every week, and Jason Mankey every other week, and don't forget Reverend Donald Lewis. He was supposed to be back this Friday for Karelian Family Hour, but he's not going to be back this Friday, not just yet. Looking forward to having him back on Friday nights. We will have Lady Stephanie Neal, the Archpriest, is doing the Karelian Deep Teachings, Deep Waters, the deeper teachings of the Karelian faith. And Ed Correll will be back, and his topic will be Think Pagan. I don't know. It's always interesting to try to figure out what he's getting at, because you think you know, but you're not quite sure. But he will be on for Karelian Family Hour this Friday. But it's Wednesday, and it's kind of chilly here on the porch. So I lit up the fire pit, getting ready for Yule. I got some hot cocoa going, and I have Reverend Catherine Clarenbuck, The Way of the River, and that is her way. We'll talk about that. You'll tell us about that, right, Reverend?
That's okay. I certainly will tell you about the Way of the River as we go along. Absolutely.
Awesome. I really appreciate you coming, you reaching out to me to do the show. I've put out a lot of messages out there for anyone who'd like to be guests on the shows here on Pagans Tonight, because we have shows practically every night of the week. Please reach out to us, and that this is easy as that. First time I'm interviewing you. This is going to be a lot of fun. I got a chance to chat with you earlier today, and I'll have to tell you, one thing you said kind of tickled me, because I'm going to have to try to figure out how I'm going to frame this. Reverend Catherine, you are, and let me finish this. You are a reverend, and different from, I'm a reverend because I went to the ULC website and got that. So I'm ordained, by the website, so I can be an officiant at a wedding or a hand fasting or things like that. But it's always been my dream to actually go through like a seminary, and I'm looking at your information here, and you're fully papered. No other way to put it. You're fully papered. Do you mind telling us a little bit about the background?
Not at all. I would love to talk about that a little bit. I have been actively pagan since 1991. And like many of the budding witches of that time, The Spiral Dance was my first pagan book, and I still have it around here somewhere. I think the binding is probably broken, but it's here. And in those early 90s days, I also attended pagan events at the local Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. That didn't really stick for me at that time, the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship where I was attending. So I left there and became part of Four Quarters Interfaith Sanctuary, which is in southern Pennsylvania. They're raising a stone circle there. It's a really fascinating place. And it was in the fertile soil of Four Quarters that Stone Circle Wicca, the tradition of which I am a part, emerged. And the Stone Circle tradition allowed me to attain my first degree initiation there in 2000, and I was eventually initiated into the third degree with all of the attendant responsibilities to serving the community that came with that. So, as you said, you know, I went to, you know, a Christian seminary. I went to a Methodist seminary. It's actually Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. And I did that for, I did that for a number of reasons. For one thing, I had been around the pagan world for a long time, and I had done a lot of interfaith work. And it was clear to me that if I was going to really build bridges and really speak with authority and clarity in an interfaith context, I needed to start building those bridges. I also wanted to be at a seminary that had racial diversity, theological mm-hmm. diversity, and economic diversity. And I got to study Judaism and Islam, as well as Christianity, from a mostly Protestant perspective.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really, I had a great time. And I have to be honest, with all of y'all out there. I also really love some things about Christianity. Like, I'm not one to tear down other faiths in general. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like it was a hardship for me. I was out as pagan and as a Unitarian Universalist, but I really loved my Bible classes and my, you know, I got to write my own communion service that was about bread coming from grain and wine coming from grapes and not being so much about, you know, the body and blood of a man somewhere, but about our relationship to earth. And so it was a sort of Christian adjacent experience for me.
Oh, I understand totally. I mean, when we had the conversation earlier today, I have my bachelor's degree from Wayland Baptist. Mm-hmm. And I did that because they would take my credits from all the different places I lived and be able to put that together to get the degree I wanted. But I had to take an Old Testament class and a New Testament class. And the New Testament mm-hmm. class was not as interesting, but Old Testament, man, mm-hmm. I think I was the only A out of that class because that teacher mm-hmm. was really tough and he didn't like to give A's. And he was – the way that he taught it was like a biblical scholar, like, you know, like how you would do with comparative religion. And we talked about the, you know, like you would, if I say the Q to you, you would mm-hmm. understand that.
Yeah.
So,
the Q source.
Right. The source that, you know, we have the four books of, and okay. People who want to beat on Christianity, hear me out, hear us out with this. This is fascinating stuff because when you're studying paganism, we're always looking for all the different sources of where things come from. And we have our big slew of books. And when you realize that in Christianity, that exists as well. Mm. In Judaism, there's still the argument, and even in Islam, there's still an argument about the source of this, and you know,
absolutely.
Should you accept some of their heretical teachings, like Lilith, who is Adam's mm-hmm. real first wife, or was she? That's, you know, that's not what's the word I'm looking for. It's not one of the.
It's not a canonical teaching.
It's canon. That's right.
Right.
It's canon.
It's part of what's called the Apocrypha, or even Midrash, which is a Hebrew term for stories that sort of go along with and illuminate biblical stories. But I went through the 3 years of seminary, and then I did a year-long internship on the other side of the country in Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
At the First Unitarian Church. It's a 1,500-member Unitarian Universalist Church in Portland, which is where I live now. And after those 4 years, I had attained a Master's of Divinity degree. And that's required for fellowship and then for ordination in the Unitarian Universalist tradition. I had to go see a panel of people and, you know, prove that I knew what I was talking about. And eventually I was able to have a really beautiful ordination, which included Christian, Unitarian, Universalist, and Wiccan blessings from three different people.
I love UU. I have to tell you that. You know, there's like a belief net mm-hmm. test that people can take to try to find out where their faith really lies. And mine usually comes up UU. And when we were talking earlier today, you wanted to make sure that people understood that UU is not ULC. Because
right.
could you give a, for people who don't know UU, I love UU, by the way. and to be, you know, I know we've had UU and CUPS. A lot of people mm-hmm. might know CUPS, the Covenant of Unitary Universalist Pagan Society. We've had CUPS people on. Margot
mm-hmm.
Adler, you know,
mm-hmm.
the late Margot Adler was very instrumental in forming CUPS. And when you go to a UU service, they use a lot of neo-pagan terminology in some of the you know, they'll say blessed be.
It really depends on the congregation, and that's one
right.
of the highlights or the markers of Unitarian Universalism is that from one congregation to the next, you have mm-hmm. a huge range of faith perspectives, because in Unitarian Universalism, we have six sources of our faith, and they include an earth-centered faith position, Christian and Jewish traditions that remind us to love our neighbor, humanist and science-based positions. You know, we have these six sources, and the first one is about that transcending wonder and awe that is present in all cultures and that leads to a renewal of the spirit. And for me, that is what the relationship to the divine is all about, that we are part of this big picture. You know?
Well, and I like the basic, the principles of UU.
The seven
and
the,
one
principles.
Of the things,
mm-hmm.
Right, and one of them is the interconnectedness.
Of the interconnected web of life, yeah, of existence.
Right.
So that's the seventh awesome. Principle. And it's so necessary for life on Earth right now. You know, we're not gonna make it as a species if we don't get that we're connected to everybody else. We're not gonna make it, and we're all part of this. We're all in this together. Every soil microbe, every butterfly, every honeybee, and every human being—we're all in it together. We're all in it together. So, but what I, you know, it's the question comes up sort of, so what am I? Like, I've been described as a Christian adjacent UU pagan. Because I enjoyed biblical scholarship. My father was a biblical scholar, but I'm not a Christian believer myself. I'm a Unitarian
right.
Universalist minister, and the core of my faith is pagan. So after my ordination, I became what is called an entrepreneurial minister, which in our tradition means I don't have a brick and mortar congregation. I'm building my own, largely but not entirely, online community through different online connections and spiritual teachings that I share
through
the way of the river.com. Yeah, it is really cool. I really love it. And there's a couple of different ways that people can get involved with the Way of the River and just learn more about me, learn more about, you know, who is this crazy lady and what does she have to offer me? And one of them, and one of the easiest and best ways to get in touch, is if you're on Facebook, to come to the Way of the River Facebook community group. We share poetry every Monday. Every Monday we have what we call Beloved Selfies Monday. And that comes from the teaching of a friend of mine. She took a class in which they pointed out that a lot of times many of us, especially if we don't think we're traditionally beautiful or handsome or good looking or thin enough or big enough or strong enough or whatever, we don't like seeing pictures of ourselves. We only want to see the perfect picture, right?
Right.
So we, every Monday morning on the Way of the River Facebook group, community group, we share Beloved Selfie Selfie Day. Beloved Self Selfie Day. And people take pictures of themselves first thing Monday morning. And I don't know about you, but I look pretty exciting first thing Monday morning with my coffee. But another way to get involved that has really been great for a lot of folks is if you go to thewayoftheriver.com, click on the Love Letters tab, and then you'll hear from me every week. Every Monday, without fail, I send out information, not just information, but reflections, contemplations. You know, what does it mean to have a good ritual? How do you make a good ritual? What does it mean to have the virtue of courage in a time when a lot of us want to give in to despair? You know, every week I try to give a spiritual boost to my community. And again, that is under the Love Letters tab on thewayoftheriver.com.
I love that. Well, see, one of the reasons that one of the things that I find very important about Pagans Tonight is the outreach that we do here for people who may not have a community where they have locally.
Right.
And that's very important to me specifically. And I know to a lot of the people here on Pagans Tonight is to be able to you know, let people, we have rituals here. We have, like I mentioned, classes. We have just discussions and just a way to feel like you're part of the community. And I love that because a lot of us don't have a community where they're, or maybe they're afraid to venture out and mingle with some of the community. That's awesome.
Yeah, I had a ritual in preparation for Samhain this past October, and it was via Zoom, the online teleconferencing platform that I use a lot. And I had a team of folks who participated in putting that ritual together. And we invited members of the Way of the community, the Way of the River community, to come. And we had a really deep and powerful experience. The energy is palpable. If you know how to put together an online experience for folks, it can be a tremendous solace for people who don't have the opportunity to connect with other pagans in their local communities.
Right. Right. How do you do things? I talked about rituals. How do you do something like, do you have something in place to teach like the what's going on throughout the year?
I do, actually. I have this past year I started a program called Turning the Wheel. And this past year, I had a discussion running from Imbolc through Samhain, and we had a little ritual on Samhain. And then we're having our extra special, super cool, totally awesome retreat coming up in just before Yule. But I'll tell you about that in a minute, because I want to tell you about turning the wheel.
Okay.
This year we're going to have a ritual. It's a free event through the Way of the River. We'll have our first one a little before Imbolc. We'll have something for Beltane, for Lammas, and for Samhain. And then we'll have our winter solstice retreat as well. But mm-hmm. the other ones will all be rituals. And I have taught people. One of my friends is a Unitarian Universalist minister who had never done a pagan thing in her life, as far as she knew. And I was like, well, let's talk about some Christian traditions. But that's another whole story. But she wanted to become involved. She wanted to learn about pagan ceremony. And so having these occasions when I can teach people and then we can come together with a larger group and offer service to that group. You know, people want to be of service to a community. It just feels good. It just feels good, you know, to do that. And so I had about six folks who were the team of people, you know, different people called quarters and cast circle. And we did an energetic meditation exercise to focus the energy of the group. It was beautiful. It really was. And people received very strong messages from their ancestors and about what they wanted to, how they wanted to become good ancestors, if that makes sense. What kind of legacy they want to leave.
Well, and see, a lot of people, I mean, I posted something about, I don't know, about 3 years ago on Samhain about how I called it the family reunion of all time. And I talked about, you know, my ancestors, and I talked about how we're all connected to the future generations. And that's like, you know, we're all getting together. This is a good time when the veil is thin.
That's right. In both
together.
Directions.
Right,
both directions.
Right. So
yes.
I like that.
Yeah. So I mentioned this super special, extra awesome thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
On September 16th, I'm holding a day-long retreat called Going Into mm-hmm. the Dark. It is on a Saturday, as I said, I think. And it's four separate calls that are each 3 hours apart. So like the central time first call is at 10 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is at 1, then 4, then 7. And then each call has a different focus and a different active imagination journey, engaging the close and holy darkness and the rest and the peace that we need to have at this time mm-hmm. of year. And you know, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of chatter about how, for example, Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace, hope, and joy. And then I
right.
see a parking lot outside of a store, and people are trying to run each other over with shopping carts and cars. Right? It's not a restful time. And so going into the dark, this retreat that I'm offering is not only for people who identify as pagan. It's also for people who just want a day that is really for themselves to recharge, to connect with the darkness as it's coming and the divine spark within each of us that helps light our way back into warmth and back into hope. the light at summer solstice. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know what this would probably be good for is maybe not with figure whole sentences here. I was going to say something bad about somebody that we all know who can't speak in full complete sentences.
Let's not invoke that.
No. No, but you were saying that this is not necessarily just for pagans. And as you were talking about it, I was thinking, you know, somebody who has seasonal affective disorder, this would be great.
Yes.
This would be great for
that. That's such a good point because it's a way of saying, you know, in ceremonies that I've done for the summer solstice, one of the things that I talk about is relinquishment, how the sun, the light, the length of days reaches its zenith and it comes to this point. But the second it gets there, it has to let go. The second it gets there, the days are shortening. And that's true at Yule as well, that the time is coming when the days get longer. And having hope and naming our hopes, naming our need for compassion, and naming our griefs that we have held over the past year, those are all a part of what we're going to do with this retreat day.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really super beautiful. And it is a paid event. It's not free like the Turning the Wheel activities are. It's $120 a person. And there's a picture of the Big Dipper on the front of thewayoftheriver.com. And you can just click on the picture of the Big Dipper. And you'll see a whole invitation page that explains what happens on each call, sort of what we're going to do and how we're going to move through the day and how we're going to get to that place of feeling lighter and more hopeful. Because I don't know about you, but it's been a really hard year for me. It's been a really hard year.
It's been a hard year for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It really has.
Yeah.
And this has been a tough year for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really want that Saturday the 16th to be a time of healing and a time of hope for folks who might not otherwise have the opportunity to experience that, especially near the end of this year that has been so hard.
Right. We could use that healing and that hope. I want to talk more about this, but I want to go ahead and take a moment to, because that's a lot of stuff to digest. And I want to go ahead and take a moment to play a nice Yule song. I figured I'd play Kiva and Yuletide Changes.
That's wonderful. I have a good friend who plays with Kiva.
Oh, we'll have to talk. Okay, so here's Kiva and Yuletide Changes, and we'll be right back with Reverend Catherine here on Pamet's Porch on Pagans Tonight Radio Network.
The sun has been so far away. The nights are getting colder. Bright leaves on the wind did play. Our children getting older. Winter, your cold breath does shine upon us oh so brightly. The frost and leaves and cold night wind is elegant and sprightly. The breath of snow, the days of gray, the winter killing night wind. I always wish my days such a journey back. Some say young sun king burning, and it will be a long time on this track, burning deeply with our yearning. Winter burn Yuletide log against our fears to brighten our short days. To honor all our ancestors in keeping of their ways. For we give the hope to all that spring will once again be, and the hope that is born on solstice eve will fill our hearts with thee. Celebrate together and give our gifts of cheer, and know that soon anew children getting older.
Yuletide changes, Kiva here on Pagans Tonight Radio Network. One of the cool things that happened when I started doing Pagans Tonight is I really didn't know a lot of pagan music. I knew, oh gosh, I had like the Best of Pagan song that had Velvet Hammer on it, and I knew Burning Times, but I didn't
right,
really know
and
a
Velvet
lot of pagan
Hammer.
Music. Yeah, Velvet Hammer and Ginger Doss is. I was just talking to you about off mic about the Green Album. I always like try to bring up the Green Album once a show because it's such an important album, not only for pagan music but for basically putting our energy, our money, where our faith is. In terms of when you buy this album, 25% of the proceeds goes to the Rainforest Trust. And I don't know how many thousands of acres have been reclaimed just by people buying this album. So that's part of why, not only that, but you're supporting the musicians of our community. But I haven't, Kiva's not one that I ran into until recently. So I get these little surprises and I've fallen in love with Kiva. So I'm glad that you know somebody from Kiva. If you can send them my way and we can have them on the course, that would be great. Great.
I will.
One of the things that you were saying, back to the interview with Reverend Catherine, one of the things that you were saying that really resonated with me is using the our work at Sabbath, our rituals, to actually do like self improvement. Because I think a lot of times we go like, oh, look at the calendar, Yule's coming up. Well, we'll have to get together and do something. But to me, the whole focus on to me, that whole focus on paganism and the year and the moon is getting back in tune with those cycles of the earth. Mm-hmm. And when the earth is resting, you rest. When the earth is dark, you have more introspection and you work on yourself. And I like to actually do some kind of, self work when I do Sabbaths, not just the S-bots.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that form in how you do things?
Well, when I was at Four Quarters and doing a lot of work with Stone Circle Wicca, we did ceremonies as small as like in a living room with six people or for 350 or 400 people at a festival. And no matter how many people are in a ceremony, it is always my goal that we will leave transformed. That, every tradition, every faith has its idea about what it is to live a good life and how it is to become more of the person you hope to be. And in our tradition, in the Stone Circle tradition, a lot of that is bound up in service to the community, as well as in the virtues of authenticity, integrity, compassion, and wisdom. And very, very importantly, in the use of ritual, and we called it psycho-emotive transformative ritual. And that's a whole lot of syllables to say,
yeah,
we want you to leave changed, right? We want this to have an effect. If there is a community need, if there is something that the community needs, that's a great time to do a ritual. You don't have to only look at the calendar to decide, oh, now is the time to do a ritual. And just because you're working alone doesn't mean that you won't be changed by ritual work on your own. You know, we all have that capacity to develop ourselves and develop our wholeness. You know, when I was talking about going into the dark and talking about healing, you know, that is something that I think so many of us need, and it's something that I hope to bring about through the use of ritual elements, right? That we use different tools and techniques that have been taught to us by other people or we have developed on our own. But even those things we've developed on our own, I think we have to give thanks to the history of our own lives and our ancestors for what comes to us, you know. And so my sense is if you just, you know, take Beltane, for example.
Okay.
In my history.
I'll take Beltane any day.
I'm
you,
sorry?
You hit my favorite. I'll take Beltane any day. You hit one of my favorites there.
Oh, good. Okay, so we're going to take Beltane. Well, most of my crew of folks, not my, like I owned them, but our group that started what became Stone Circle Wicca were gay, lesbian, or bisexual.
Uh-huh.
And we had to think about and talk about Beltane in ways that were more than just, hey, a cisgendered guy and a cisgendered girl go and they lie in a furrow in the field and have themselves a good time and fertility's going to happen, right? It needs to be more than that. It needs to be bigger than that, more cosmic than that. And in fact, one year I did a Beltane ceremony that was about honeybees and flowers instead of having any gendered stuff at all. It was about honeybees and flowers and abundance and fertility in that kind of framework. And I just bring that up to say that we need to, you know, folks, we need to think about why we're doing what we're doing. Every single movement we make in a ritual, in a reading, in a meditation, every single thing we do is meaningful, and it should be meaningful. And I will tell you, as a Unitarian Universalist minister, that sometimes, in some places, we don't always have a good handle on that. Sometimes you use our a little on the casual side. And so, you know, like I said, we have a very wide variety of this is with you use. But some churches are very just sort of like, oh, here we are, it's Sunday. We get together, we're a social justice social group. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's important for any worship service or ritual or ceremony or whatever kind of word you want to use, any rite, to be filled with meaning at every step. And that's just absolutely central to me.
I'm with you. I know I used to annoy my group in Texas a lot because a lot of times I had to wait till like that day for the inspiration of what the intent of things were going to be, because I need, you know, I just needed to have that feel of what we needed to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was always a part of my circle. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I have a kind of funny story to tell. My wife and I were married in a ceremony with our family and community in 2004, and then married legally in Boston in 2009.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But we think of our wedding in 2004 as our real wedding, right? Even though it wasn't the legal wedding, it was the party, the rehearsal dinner, the attendance, all the jazz. And I wrote almost all the ceremony. And I was working on it. And Julie, my wife, says to me, "What is it you're wanting?" And I said, "Well, I want this to be the best ceremony in all of history and time." She was like, "Okay.
You're not shooting high, are you?"
I don't think that's a very good goal. And so then we're sitting in the car and I'm fretting over the ceremony and I'm all lost in the weeds, right? I'm like, what? And I turn to her in the car, she's driving, and I turn to her and I say, "Honey, I just need to get back to the basics. Remind me, what is the intention of this ceremony?" And she turns to me and she says, "To marry us." And I was like, right. Because sometimes you can get so lost in the details,
yeah.
In the, oh, what am the trappings, the robe, the tools, that you get away from your intention and what transformation needs to take place.
Yes. I know, and I think everyone listening has gone through that.
Yeah.
Knows that. Knows
what is
that
the
feeling.
Intention of this ceremony? Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's why, you know, when we talk about what you're talking about with this season, and I'm sorry, you have to say Christmas because it's secular. It's what, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, this time of the year, most of us were raised that this is Christmas.
I think of it as a secular holiday.
It is pretty much,
there are secular parts and sacred parts to Christmas.
I posted a meme yesterday that said that you're pagan. It's the meme says, "You're pagan, but you still love to belt out Christmas carols." That's me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I cannot stand when somebody harshes my mellow with, you know, if somebody says Merry Christmas to me, I'm going to Merry Christmas them back. Or
yeah.
I might Happy Holidays. Or I might have a cool Yule. Or, you know, season's greetings. It's more of the intent. And that kind of goes with what you're saying. What your intent is for everybody to be pleased, to be happy, and to bring the community together. What I want to try to tie this back into to the the retreat that you're doing. What a lot of people don't understand with why this holiday is about bringing us all together that intent is if you think about ancient times, and especially if you live in Northern Europe. I'm a military brat. I've lived in Northern Europe. I'm not like this rich person that had a yacht and sailed away to Europe. I lived off Kraft dinner and everything in an apartment in Germany because my father was stationed there. But I was lucky enough to be able to experience it there. This time of year, it's going to be pitch dark around 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you're leaving school, the sun's starting to set.
That's right. If you think about
how dark, how mm-hmm. not figuratively dark, but how mm-hmm. literally dark it is. And this is, you know, ancient times. You couldn't, like, you know, flip the switch and, you know, even your fires that you would build, you had to be careful because, you know, there might be snow on the ground. So you may not have had a big stockpile of wood
mm-hmm.
or coal.
Well, and something that I talk about in that ritual or that retreat, going into the dark, is about how we celebrate the winter solstice, wherever you are. We celebrate the winter solstice because we need each other. We need each other to share that light when there isn't light outside.
Exactly.
That ultimately, if we are going to survive on some level, we still know in our bones that we need each other to survive. And for me, that is the core message of Yule, that we need each other to survive.
And that's one of the things, especially when you're considering the darkest, deepest winter.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's most important for everybody to come together. And that's why community is so important. You know, you and I should, like, hang out more because I get you. And that's one of the things I try to bring up to people. It's not just, you know, oh, cool, I'm a pagan, I wear a pentacle. There's a lot more to this. And I know I'm not trying to demean anyone's path. I know a lot of people.
No, we all have phases. You know,
right.
We all have processes that we go through.
And you know, for some people are in a different place in the path. I guess
mm-hmm.
I just really want to focus on you know, what I was talking about with the connection, making that connection with the cycles of the earth, with the cycles of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the solstice, I love to tell the story about the solstice means sun standing still for like 3 days before it changes mm-hmm. direction. It looks like it stands still. So it is a time to kind of stand still and
mm-hmm.
make these big changes. And
mm-hmm.
make these big changes, which is what you were saying about the hopes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right,
and
you know, I wanted to go back to something you said about
mm-hmm.
seasonal observances.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in central Pennsylvania. I spent
mm-hmm.
the vast majority of the first 3 decades of my life in the same town. And
mm-hmm.
My sense of what the weather is, what the season means, how the holiday is celebrated, is very affected by the fact that I grew up in a particular valley between two particular ridges in one particular landscape. And now I'm in someplace really different. Right now I live in Portland, Oregon, and I'm learning that it might not be snowing, but it sure as heck is getting dark. Right?
Yes.
Sunset is before 4:30 now. And it's my best friend lives in Bellingham. Sunset is like 4:15. That's up in the northwest corner of Washington. And it, we learn from the earth, from the land where we are, but it takes a little while. It takes a little while.
It does.
I've been living here 4 years and I'm still learning about this kind of whisper of mist that is the rain of winter. You know, that it's this beautiful, lush, green landscape because we have this damp time of of mistiness that's just beautiful. It doesn't snow very much, if at all. The first year we were here, it snowed a bunch, and we panicked because we hadn't brought our snow shovel with us. But then we listened out the front door, and nobody else had a snow shovel either, so we weren't that worried. Because it never snows more than an inch or an inch and a half. But we are affected by where we live. And I think there's this challenge between the holidays, the fire holidays of Celtic tradition, you know, and lots of Northern European traditions. And how do they apply to other places? Like, how do we both honor those traditions that we've learned about and make sure that we're being connected with the place we are? This now,
well,
this place.
I think the probably the most, the one that has the biggest impact when you're talking about this, because I was listening to your the different Sabbats that you focus on with the turn of the year, and you didn't mention Mabon or Mabon, and that's like probably the most, you know, what I tell people is there's two things that you can do is if you're going to do it on the equinox, then you focus on the balance of light and dark and not necessarily on the harvest, because you might be in a place that the harvest has already come or that the harvest isn't going to be for another month.
Interesting. So, yeah. Yeah. I haven't quite decided yet. We may have discussions on the other holidays on the summer solstice and the fall and spring equinoxes, but we're definitely having rituals on the other four holidays.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
You know what? We've talked about this, and we haven't really talked a lot about how people can get connected. I mean, you've talked about what you're doing, but we haven't talked a lot about how people can get connected with your community, the Way of the River. So I want to go ahead and play. We were talking about Dave the Bard. I want to go ahead and play.
Yes, Dave the Bard.
Play some Dave the Bard. Let me see. I know I have. Okay, here we go. There's like a couple good songs that we have for him for this time of year. But I'm going to go ahead and play On Midwinter's Day, Dave the Bard.
Oh, nice.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about how you can get connected up with Reverend Catherine.
Returned to their home, and the dead have followed the raven song. No longer among us they roam. The wisdom of our ancient past shows us how to ride the storm. For their tombs they swallowed the rising sun, and the Mabon is always reborn. Reborn, oh. So come, all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing away. All over the land, a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on Midwinter's Day. On Midwinter's Day. Be frozen and hard, and the rain that fell has now turned to ice. The winter is showing its card, but now the Sun King has rested, and his eyes have returned to the earth. For 3 days the sun has been still in the sky, but the time has now come for his birth. His birth, oh. So come, all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the King will return. Return home. So come all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day.
He's got a new album out, so if you get a chance to snag that. Also, Tuatha Dea has they did Kilts and Corsets. They've already released that earlier in the year, but the Appalachia Burning, if you haven't had a chance to see that video yet, they released it yesterday. It's amazing. I'll share it with you. We're now Facebook friends. which I guess is the best way to lead into. It just segued into it, Reverend Catherine. We were gonna talk about something else, but it segued into how to contact you. So let's just go with that. Flow with that, and then we can talk about what we were talking about earlier off mic.
Sure. Well, you can always find me at thewayoftheriver.com. And it's very important to remember the. It's not Way of the River.
Yes.
It's thewayoftheriver.com. And I have a contact page there that you can hook up with me that way. I also am on Facebook, and we have the Way of the River community group on Facebook, and both of those are great ways to get a hold of me and learn more about what I'm about and what do I care about and what do I do. And if you spend some time on the website, there's actually a whole bunch more stuff that we're not even getting into tonight that you can look into. Yeah.
I'm digging. I love that.
You were checking me out, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have invited people here on, you know, flying by the seat of my pants. Okay. So let's be on the show, Joe. but it's nice to know a little bit about you before you come on. So I don't just
Absolutely.
Like, okay, so
Absolutely.
Who are you?
And the thing I really would love to invite people to do is to sign up for my love letters, to sign up for my Monday love letters at thewayoftheriver.com. Just click on love letters. You can sign up to get reflections from me every Monday. You can read it or not, depending upon how your week has gone, but it will always be there for you first thing Monday morning.
I love that. I also like the selfie thing because I'll admit I mean, I don't think that I'm ugly, but back in the days before we had cell phone, digital camera stuff, you know, available wherever you go, like, oh, look, I found something on the ground. I'll share it with Facebook. What do you think this is? Is it gum? but before that happened, when people like anyone pointed a camera at me. I don't know what it was, this fear. And I remember one of my friends, she loved taking pictures. And she would every time she took her picture, she'd go to, remember having to get them developed. She'd go turn them in to get developed, and then it was like Christmas morning when she would get the pictures back, and she would be so excited, and I would be filled with dread. And she says, "Oh, you're fine." And then she'd start leafing through the pictures, and she would get to mine, and she says, "You look better than this."
Oh, see, that's why the beloved self selfie day is so important.
It is because now that I have a digital camera, I do too many selfies at times. But go ahead.
Well, you know, something that I write a lot about that we haven't talked about at all, actually, is what it's like to be a fat minister and a fat spiritual leader, because I'm a really big person. Yep. And there is not a camera in the world that is going to make me look thin. It is just not going to happen. So instead of looking at pictures and thinking, oh, my gosh, I have 19 chins and my belly's all big and I, you know, whatever. What else is in that picture? What does my expression say about how I'm feeling? How does the gesture that I'm making with my hand express what's inside me? What is my hair doing that is interesting or intriguing? What kinds of shapes and spaces are there in the picture? And one of the things that we do with Beloved Self Selfie Day is allow ourselves to think of those kinds of things. So,
I love that.
It's really been liberating for a lot of folks. At the beginning, only like my mom and three other people would post. And now we have, you know, a bunch of people. The thread gets longer and longer every week. And it's
very
wonderful
cool.
to see everybody first thing in the morning on Monday.
Yeah, I think it's very good to do that introspect. I remember like those type of exercises where we had to like draw a little figure of us, and you put like a circle around something you liked, you put a square around something that you don't like that you can change, and then something that you don't like that you can't. Well, it helps you look at your you know, to accept yourself. Like I'm heavy too. Don't you love when people who are really close to you and they love you and they see you for who you are, and then you say something about being fat and they go, "Oh, you're not fat."
Don't use that word.
I go,
don't use that word. I'm like, what?
That's
a whole other show
that
I would be happy to have with you.
We gotta do that sometimes.
We
should
do that.
Oh, you're not fat. They say you're not fat, and I said, "Oh, and you're blind." Thank you.
Well, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say something like that. I would not.
Oh,
that's not language I would use, but for me,
I understand where you're coming from.
You know, where you're like. They're trying to say something nice, but by saying something nice, what they're actually saying is it's bad to be fat, and I love you, so therefore you can't be fat because that would be bad.
Yes, and it's like, no, but I'm fat. I am.
And it's part of who I am, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And actually, they're two of the most read blog posts on the Way of the River are called Fat Ministry, parts 1 and 2, or maybe parts 1, 2, and 3. And they're on the blog on thewayoftheriver.com. You can search them.
There you go.
So, but I want to make one last appeal, because I know we need to wrap up soon, for folks to go to the website and look at the page for Going Into the Dark. The upcoming December 16th, Saturday, December 16th, wintertime Yule preparation retreat that I'll be having. I would love to see some folks there who are on this call.
Awesome. Awesome. I will check it out. I've got the link. Anyone that's listening to this show, using the link that goes to Blog Talk Radio, you'll have a link to the website in the description of the show. It's the easiest way to get a hold of. Well, what is the easiest way to get a hold of you, Reverend Catherine?
The easiest way?
Mm-hmm.
Well, short of knocking on my front door, the easiest way to get a hold of me actually is by email. My email address is magic@thewayoftheriver.com.
And that's without a K, right?
Just, yeah, without a K. Good,
magic,
good point. magic@thewayoftheriver.com.
Traditional spelling of magic.
Yes.
At the way of the river. And remember the the. Remember
always
the
the. Remember the the.
There was a place that I used to do community theater at, and it was called Backdoor Theater. It's called Backdoor Theater. And
uh-huh.
and the made all the difference in what you were going to see. And I think it was a .net. So
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
made all the difference if you looked it up. So I don't have
mm-hmm.
to fill in any more details.
No, we don't.
But you we were talking about something. I know you do this mostly online, or you have
mm-hmm.
a virtual and online community. But when we were talking about rituals, though, you and I were talking off mic about it. And you brought up something that I think is extremely important when you're talking about this time of year with the ritual. Well, you brought it up with all rituals. And I said, no, this is like, well, I agreed with that, but I thought that it's very important with how we celebrate Yule, Christmas this time
mm-hmm.
of year
is
movement, is the sensations, the smell.
Singing.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm.
what's Christmas or Yule without the Christmas carols? What's it without the smell of pine or cinnamon or
holly and fir trees and evergreen
yeah.
and things cooking? Yes, absolutely. And one of the, you know, the best rituals, I think, the best worship experiences are ones that engage us with as many of our senses, as much of our bodies as we can. And you'll see that especially if you are doing, you know, say you're at a UU congregation and it's a multi-generational service, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kids don't want to just sit there and listen to someone read at them. Well, neither do I. I don't want to just sit there and listen to someone read at me. I want to sing. I want to be blessed. I want to move around, you know?
Yeah.
Rituals that engage us with water, with candles, with stones, with incense in appropriate situations. You know, those things matter. Those things matter. They really are tools that we use. Are each one is teaches a different set of skills. You know, in Stone Circle Wicca, we study in our first set of classes, we study 13 tools, and each tool is associated with a different virtue or condition or way of being. You know, something is connected to ethics and something else is connected to clear sight and discernment and something else. So
cool.
The tools that we use are essential to what we create.
Interesting. I like that.
Not, I don't want to say essential. Can I take that back? I don't want to say essential because
sure.
you can have a perfectly good ceremony using nothing but your brain all by yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't want to say that you have to have the perfect robe and the athame that you've made yourself and, you know,
right.
all of that. But I
right.
do think it's important to as much as possible engage, you know, the feeling of the cards, the tradition that we have in my house, which is that on Yule, we don't have electric lights. We don't use electric lights. We watch the light get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and we light candles. You know,
that's,
we make snickerdoodles by candlelight, and then we look at the floor in the morning when the light comes back on and see what a mess we've made in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's why you have dogs.
I know, but
we don't have dogs anymore.
That's the problem. We only have cats. It's terrible.
Cats don't eat snickerdoodles as much as
cats
dogs
don't
do.
Eat snickerdoodles just like in the way dogs would. Exactly.
Yeah.
You totally get it.
I do. I think that that's a great way of celebrating, and you know, it on many levels, and that just brings home the point that you're trying to make, because not only are you experiencing the darkness and lighting the candle, but isn't there's nothing more. When I bring out the candles, there's like basically two main things that I think about is like coziness or I'm doing ritual. And there you got both of them.
That's right. That's right.
Being
that's a very
cozy.
Good point. That's a very
there
good
you
point.
Go. Sometimes it's because the electricity is out, but you know.
Yeah. And even then it can be cozy, right?
It is. It is.
I like it.
Reverend Catherine, I can't wait to have you back on again. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
I have loved being here. I have loved being here. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope folks will become better known to me and to thewayoftheriver.com. And I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much. The porch has been lovely and cozy.
With the fire pit going and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess it's time to wrap things up. I wanted to play one last song to end the show on, and since the theme is Yule, it's another Yule tune. Incubus Succubus, Hail the Holly King. Enjoy. And tomorrow night will be the Tree of Life show, and I don't know if the Weird Road will be on tomorrow. I always forget which week the guys are on, but the Heathen show, the Weird Road, is on alternating Thursdays. Well, you know, it's the last Thursday of the month, so this is an odd Thursday. They may be here because they're odd. They may not. But join us tomorrow here on Pagans Tonight Radio Network for Tree of Life Hour for sure. Here's Incubus Succubus. Thank you, Reverend Catherine.
You're welcome. Thank you.
listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.